while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I'm going to start with a question. Has anybody here ever kept a promise? Have you ever kept a promise? Let me see, show of hands. If you've been someone who has kept a promise. Okay, not everybody put their hands up. If the person next to you didn't put their hand, no, I'm not, sorry. I'm just saying it, you know, for those on radio who can't see that you didn't put your hand up. You know, if the person next to you didn't put your hand up, in fact, you know what? Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm praying for you. Yeah, because I asked the question. You didn't put your hand up, so it means the answer is no. Okay, so let me ask a different question. Have you ever been let down by someone who didn't keep their promise? Let me see your hands. If you've ever been let down, okay, praise God. Some of us have never been let down by anybody. So if a family member, a friend, you know, employer, somebody, you know, no? Supplier? Client? No? Okay. So, final question then. Have you ever broken your promise to someone? If you've ever, don't put your hands up. I saw a couple of hands like, yeah, me! I broke my promise. Okay. Forgiveness is available. Grace is available. Was that you? Did you put your hand up? Yeah, oh wow, okay, okay. Yeah. Actually, if you've ever broken a promise, let me see a show of hands. I'm going to do this. Some of you are, you need to put your toes up as well. It's not just your hands. Some of you have really, you didn't just break the promise, you ground it into the dirt. You smashed it into little pieces and put it in a blender, some of you. But hallelujah for mercy and hallelujah for grace. Amen? Amen. Today we want to deal with the issue of promises. And when I say promises, I don't mean simply, you know, promises in themselves, promises kept. I'm talking about the reminders we need as human beings. The reminders as we need as finite human beings with finite experiences, finite memories. Today we're going to be looking at that. God has given us many signs that point to who he is and what he has done. And today what we're going to do is focus our minds today. We're going to focus our minds on just one sign. One sign that God has given us. And when we talk about God and when we talk about the sign of covenant, when we talk about one sign of covenant, one sign of God's promise, the first place majority of people go to, the first thing we think about is, and the children did it earlier on, the rainbow. Our text from Genesis 9 says in verse 16, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. That's what God said. That's God's promise. That's God's covenant. The thing about rainbows is they come after it has rained. A rainbow comes after it has rained. And sometimes that rain is heavy. Sometimes it is heavy. How many people here are from the Caribbean? If you're from Africa, when I talk about heavy rain, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. None of this, you know, nice, genteel, you know, British spring rains for 4 days and you come out, you're thinking, is it raining? And you have to stand still for 30 seconds to see if it's raining. Some of the rain in Africa, you stand still for 30 seconds, your socks are wet. Now, some of you might know that October is the month that Sumi and I got married. And when we got married for our honeymoon, we decided, we flew to Florida. Now, for those of you who've lived in that part of the world, lived in the Caribbean, maybe you've lived in Florida, you know that during that time of the year, the weather system in that surrounding area is known at what season?
Hurricane.
Hurricane. What did you call it? Oh, I thought somebody said something else season. I'm like, you haven't lived there. What are you chatting about? rainy season is what we call it in West Africa. In the Caribbean, in Florida, is hurricane season. For those of you who do not know that or did not know that, and just like it was with me as we flew out for our honeymoon, who did not know that, you find out the hard way, right? Remember I said we just got married in October. It was the beginning of October, to be precise. So we were on this plane. We were flying into Florida. The flight was coming into Fort Lauderdale. The pilot said, oh, you know, because of the weather, we have to circle for a bit. I thought, oh, that's okay. I love flying. I love planes. The weather, we're going to go around once. Okay, we went down twice. Okay, three times. Oh, we're trying again. No, we can't go down. Oh, we're trying again. No. 30 minutes we were flying in a circle, just waiting for a landing slot. Because initially I thought, well, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a bit of rain. In fact, if you look out of the plane window at our particular height, you couldn't really see much. Yes, it was evening time, but there wasn't really much to see. It was a little bit choppy, but that's okay. These things happen. I didn't really understand what the problem was. Suffice to say, as I said, 30 minutes up there, which is quite a long time to be flying in a circle. 30 minutes is, hey, you know, but I didn't clock. Eventually we landed, you know, there was no incident, the plane didn't land sideways. You see those things on YouTube, don't you? The plane's almost landing sideways. I'm like, how do those pilots do that? Anyway, grace of God, hallelujah. And this stuff, when we came out, this stuff was pouring down. I mean, you know, as I said, you know, I'm Nigerian descent. I was born in Nigeria. I spent early years of my life in Nigeria. I understand Nigeria rain, but not like this. I mean, you know, it's one thing for me to expect rain in Nigeria, rain that feels like it's slapping your head. It's another thing. In America? No, what? Why? How did Nigeria rain get to America? I couldn't understand it. Anyway, as we came out of the airport, there was a lady sitting by the car hire desk, and I walked up to her. I was trying to crack a joke, and I said, you know, wow, you know, it's a little bit rainy today, you know, isn't it? The woman looked at me with this ridiculous look on her face and said, haven't you been watching the news? I mean, you know, I'd been preparing for my wedding 48 hours before, but I didn't tell her that, you know? And it was that point, as we journeyed through, when we got to our hotel, that we realized we had come to Florida in the middle of hurricane season. Well done, Deji. Well done. Hurricane Matthew was about to make landfall. People were talking about it. 2016, people were talking about Hurricane Matthew. Hurricane Matthew. It's a category this. Then it's a category 1. Then it's a category 4. Then it's a category 2. Then it's a category 7. I was thinking, okay, is there a code here? Maybe it's someone's PIN? I don't understand what's going on with these category numbers. Hurricane Matthew was everywhere. It was on TV. It was in the news. Everybody was talking about it. Even the hotel had warning signs everywhere. They printed out letters, they put them in every room, they told us to stay away from the windows when the hurricane made landfall. Remember, Sumi, we even had sandbags in front of the room doors. I thought, wow, this is really serious. You know, some of the rooms, they said, sorry, you can't go in this room because there's a risk. They taped up the windows. They said, you cannot use the swimming pool, you know. I was just like, this is exciting. My wife was just like, Lord, I said yes. On the second night, we were asleep, middle of the night. I woke up to go to the bathroom. And as I woke up, I could hear the noise, the wind. I could hear this out there, you know. So I went to the window and I looked out. And what could I see? Palm trees almost on their side being blown. I was like, wow, Matthew's in town. What a great, oh, wow. I looked, I could see the swimming pool. The water inside the swimming pool was being blown out of the swimming pool. So what did I do? I went and I grabbed my phone. And just as I got to the window, my newly married wife said, what are you doing? Get away from the window. And that's why I don't have any recordings of hurricane on my phone. I'll tell you another true story. It was 2017. Actually, just realized the following year, I was on a plane. I was flying back from my first trip to Kenya. At a particular point as we were flying, it was really wonderful. The pilot said, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're interested, but we're flying over Mount Kenya right now. You know, we hadn't long taken off. We're flying over Mount Kenya. If you're by the window, you know, you can see it. I wanted to see it. So I got up. I wasn't sitting by the window. I got up, went to the back through one of the exit doors. I was out there. I got my phone. I filmed it. I thought, wow, this is amazing. You could see the top of Mount Kenya. We're just above the clouds. It was wonderful. And it was really, truly wonderful to behold. We hadn't long passed over Mount Kenya. We'd finished Mount Kenya. I was just looking at the clouds. I was like, this is just, Lord, you're amazing. Wow, look at the clouds. You know, sometimes you look at, it's just, it's like this soft looking carpet. You just want to get out there and stand on it, right? Okay, maybe not quite, you know, because that would be a problem, right? You know, gravity and all of that. You know, but it was really wonderful, as I said. Not too long after we passed, I noticed something else. The clouds were a little bit dark. Down below, and someone was talking, one of the flight crew, and the flight crew said, oh yeah, there's a storm down there, you know, and you could see the clouds were gray. They were grayish, you know, and we were like, wow, there's a, but where we were, we could see sun. So you have sunlight, and then this gray carpet, and it was just like, wow. And for me, I was just there in my heart. I'm like, how great thou art. You know, I didn't really want to get out there and walk on it. Well, maybe, I don't know what's going on. You know, God knows what was going on down below on earth. But where we were, it was a bright, sunshiny summer's day. And then ironically, below was probably, I don't know what kind of rain was pounding that ground. And then in that moment, I saw it. Just as we were going through this amazing thing that we're just talking about. Right there for everybody on the plane to see. In one particular corner, there was a rainbow. We could see the rainbow. It just went corner to corner in this beautiful arc across. It was absolutely fantastic, especially from however many thousand feet we were in the air. To see a rainbow from above the clouds was just like, what is that? How? Because obviously the moisture is still in the air, the sun, it was amazing. And I don't know if you've ever seen a rainbow from the clouds, but it is really, really something. It blows your mind. What do you think when you see a rainbow? What do you think? What comes to your mind when you see that multicolored, brightly colored halo? It's exciting to see a rainbow, especially after the rain has passed. Do you remember last year's fun day? How many people were at last year's fun day? Today's a good day to talk about that, right? Talking about rain and rainbows. Oh boy. For those who were not there, I mean, I've said it many times. The thing rained so much, we wondered whether Noah was going to show up with his boat. It rained so much on that day. But do you remember what happened at the end? Right at the end, afterwards, we had a double rainbow. What a powerful, powerful sign. And thank God for Tunde, who was able to capture that picture of that double rainbow to remind us. And I tell you this much, every time I look at this picture, every time I look at this image, I'm reminded of God's goodness to us, not just in Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, but to the community of Pollard's Hill. It's a sign that we're loved. It's a sign that we're His. It's a sign that we matter to Him. It's a sign that He approves of us on earth. Now, as much as the rainbow is there in a physical or a natural, material sense, I also believe that when we go through our spiritual storms of life, God sends, He places spiritual rainbows, you know, through the clouds to give us strength, to give us comfort that we can draw from now and for the future. Let me give you three quick examples of what I mean when I talk about the spiritual clouds and the spiritual rainbows. Adversity. How many of us here have been through adversity, been through challenge and difficulty, trial, trouble, temptation? It's there. Well, in the clouds of adversity, God gives us a rainbow. He gives us a rainbow for His divine purpose. He shows us that He still has a purpose for our lives, a purpose that goes beyond where we are, a purpose that will last no matter how tough the stuff is. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, my life scripture, my favorite verse. Oh yeah, these are the three. My life scripture, my favorite verse says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In John 16:33, Jesus tells us, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So these are the rainbows that help us, the signs for us in the clouds of adversity, in the times of challenge. Let me give you another example. Yeah, the second one on the screen earlier on after adversity is death. So let me give you another example, right? Many of you know the thing about death. I'm not afraid of death. I don't know if you know this about me. I don't really much care about it. But unfortunately, it's one of the greatest fears for most people, strangely enough. A lot of people are afraid of death. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, you can't harm me. You know, what does death do to me? Death takes me into the presence of Jesus. I ain't afraid of, you know, it's like being afraid of Uber. You know, it's just a vehicle. Yeah, it's a vehicle as far as I am concerned. Read your Bible. Death is a means of transportation from the earthly realm into the heavenly realm, from the temporal realm into the eternal realm. It's a gateway. I know, I'm not afraid of any gate. Do your worst. Anyway, today's not the day for that sermon. But we have this promise, this wonderful promise in Psalm 23 and verse 4. We know it. For even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 to 57, they say this. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have examples of the clouds of adversity and the clouds of death. Here is the third one. Earlier on, I showed it on screen. The cloud of low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is something that many of us have faced. Many of us have lived with, and some of us are still facing, some of us are still living with. And in the clouds of low self-esteem, there is a rainbow of mercy, a rainbow of grace, as I call it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 reminds us that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. These two wonderful verses from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. These saints are the rainbows, the spiritual rainbows, the signs that God uses to remind us of his promises. When we go through some of the clouds of adversity, the clouds of death, the clouds of low self-esteem, those are the rainbows. A few moments ago, I talked about my experience seeing a rainbow from a plane flying above the clouds. As it happens, I once read about a young girl. She was on a plane with her dad. And similar thing, you know, they were on the plane, they were flying wherever they were going. There was rain clouds, storm clouds below them, and they saw a rainbow above. And this girl turns to her father and says, Daddy, when you see a rainbow from above the clouds, you are seeing it from the same side that God sees it. Wow. Out of the mouth of babes, huh? When you see a rainbow from above the clouds, you're seeing it from the same side that God sees it. Think about it for a moment. To the people on the ground, all they're seeing in those moments are the storm clouds. But those flying above the clouds are in the sunshine. They're in the perfect position to see the rainbow that God has put in the clouds. It's the same thing with life. When we journey through our lives, the storm clouds come, and they do come, and they will come. But we must rise above those storm clouds. And by faith, we reach for the sunshine of God's grace, God's presence, God's perspective. You know, when people come to me for counseling, when they come for help, when they come for support, I always try to point them in God's, you know, say, you know, how is God looking at this? I always seek to point them to God's perspective. How does God see what you're going through? And not from a perspective of minimizing it. I think sometimes people do that. You know, Pastor, I'm feeling a bit tired, you know, because I'm working all the hours on the sun and I've been a little bit unwell. And the pastor said, yeah, don't worry about it. God's grace is sufficient for you. No. That's not right. Because God understands. He understands our pain. He understands our difficulty. He understands those days when we don't feel like praying. We don't want to call his name. We don't want to listen to another worship song. He gets it. He understands it. He understands the challenge. But is there a rainbow for your storm cloud? Is there a rainbow for what you're going through? Is there a rainbow? I ask you today. The real answer, the real answer, if you're going to be honest with yourself, the real answer is yes. Because you see, if you actually do the research, you'll find this truth out. For every single storm cloud, and I mean every single rain cloud, there's a rainbow. Anywhere you see a rain cloud, there's a rainbow. However, the way that it works is you must be in the right position to view the rainbow. Because not everybody can see the rainbow. You have to be just in the right position where the light is reflecting and refracting. Otherwise, you won't see that rainbow. Rainbows are always seen from specific angles. You cannot just see a rainbow from anywhere. There's a specific angle you must be. So for us, when we properly position ourselves in relation to God's will, God's word, God's way, when we properly position ourselves, it won't be long before we see the rainbow that God has put in the clouds of our lives. It won't be long. And more importantly, when we properly position ourselves in line with God's will, in line with his way, we can see the rainbow from the same side that God sees it. Let me show you this. Look at this picture. Right? Look at this picture. You can see what this picture is. In your minds, I want you to think about what you're seeing. If you ask a very young child, what is this a picture of? Maybe they'll tell you, or they might tell you, it's a picture of a circle. If you ask a slightly older child, maybe a teenager, what is this a picture of? They might tell you, it's not a circle, it's a ring. If you ask an adult, what is this a picture of? They won't just tell you it's a circle or it's a ring. They'll make it clear, it's a wedding ring. And those statements are all true. However, if you ask my wife, Sumi, what is this a picture of? Not she might. She will tell you. It's not just a circle. It's not just a ring. It's not just a wedding ring. It's the wedding ring she gave to me. She put it on my finger. It is my wedding ring. To other people, it may not be significant. To other people, it's a circle, it's a ring, it's a wedding ring. But to us, it is significant. It is personal. One thing about this ring as well, its job is as a reminder. The job of a wedding ring is a reminder. Its job is to symbolize the promise, symbolize the covenant. Its job is to tell a story. I look at this ring every single day. And I put it on every single day. Can you guess what I feel most times when I put this ring on? Can you guess? Anybody? What do you think I feel most times when I put this on? Shout it out. Love? Yeah, any other words? Pardon? I feel proud. What did you say? Connected? Commitment. Committed. Uh-huh. Any other words? Pardon? I have no idea what you're saying. Fulfillment. Fidelity. Love. Joy. Oh, I really like you guys, you know. Well, you're all wrong. Every single one of you is wrong. Think about my question. I asked you to guess what I think about most times when I put it on. So let me tell you, most times when I put it on, you know what I feel? Nothing. It's the truth. It's the truth. You single people, oh, you single lady, oh, you, let me tell you something. Let me tell you the things that married people know. Let me tell you, most times, those of us who've been married more than a year will know, well, more than those of us who've been married for a while, depending on what your wife, I don't know how, you know, those who are newly married and it's all roses and unicorns and rainbows, hey. The rest of us are like, yeah, yeah, okay, reality. Back to life, back to reality. Ain't that right, Carly? Here is the things. Most days when you put on your wedding ring or your wedding band, you don't feel diddly squat. What you are doing is you're fulfilling your discipline. You are reminding yourself of the promise you made. Its job is not to get you all up in your feelings. Its job is to remind you of something more serious than feelings. Ain't that right, married people? There's a solemn yes. Everybody's just nodding their heads. They're like, whoa, he went there. It's the truth. Every day you put on your wedding ring, you get like, oh my gosh. Who got time for that? I got school run to do. I'm running late for my meeting. Gosh, love. Oh, I'm so fulfilled. Oh, Sumi. Oh. Really? No. No. Single man. No. You're not single. You're married. Almost. Sorry. You opened the door. You said it. So, is he married? No. But he ain't single. Child, please, man. I mean, you're committed. You're committed. But you ain't married. You ain't attending any married event. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Soon come. Soon come. Okay, okay. I give him that. I give him that. Not trying to, you know, prophesy an end to his relationship, you know. No, 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 no. No, no, no. But you know what I'm saying. This is a sign of a commitment. It's a sign of discipline. It's a sign that you made a promise. It's not meant to get you all up in your feelings. Maybe the first time you're all up in your feelings. And now, sadly, I'm sorry. You know I do a lot of relationship work. That's why a lot of relationships get into trouble. They live in their all up in their feelings. And they all this Instagrammable. Wake up, man. A wedding ring isn't there for me to gush over every time I put it on. Saints, I take it off to wash my hands. And I take it off to wash my hands and I put it back on. Like, you know, like in the like in the TV adverts. After washing my hands, I'll be like, my wife will ask me if there's a problem. She'd be calling the leadership of the church to say, listen, confidentially, I need you to pray for Pastor. Something is up. Come on. I take it off to wash my hands. I don't want to get soap in there. I don't want the chemicals. I want it to last. Yeah, maybe it's not as high quality. Some of you, you know, your carrot, you know, your, I mean, this is platinum anyway, but I want it to last. I want to minimize the, you know, so when I'm outside the house, I always have it on. To shower, I take it off. To wash, I take it off and I put it straight back on. It's always on. Sometimes there have been situations where I'm leaving the house just to pop to the shop and I'll be like, oh my goodness, my ring. And I've only ever not had this ring on one time. I've only ever left home one time without this ring. If I'm putting lotion or cream, hand cream on my hands, I take it off. Put the hand cream on first, put it straight back on. It goes in my pocket and straight back on. I've always got my ring. Its job, as I said, is as a sign that tells me, a sign that tells the world, I made a promise and I'm gonna keep my promise. I'm not ashamed of my promise. I will keep my promise. It tells me, its purpose is there to tell me of the discipline of my commitment. This sign, with all that it stands for, is part of my routine. It's part of my day-to-day. When I take it off at home, it has its place. There's a particular place it goes. If it's out of that place, something is wrong. There's a particular place it goes. It doesn't go anywhere else. It has its home. Here's another thing about this particular sign. It was freely given to me. freely given. It was not demanded. I didn't demand a sign. I did not demand she give me a ring. She didn't demand I give her a ring. If you have to demand that somebody marries you, or you demand that they give you a ring, saints, that's not, they're not giving it out of true love. If you have to demand it, if I demand that somebody buys me a gift, it's not a gift, I've placed an order. If Sumi demanded wedding ring, I'm not her spouse, I'm her supplier. So think about the sign, a sign, any sign that God has given you. When God gave you a sign, think about that. He gave it to you separate from your feelings. He gave you a sign so you would remember. He gave you a sign so you would know He is good. You would know He loves you and He keeps His word. The real problem for us is not whether God keeps His word. That's not the problem. That's not the question. The real problem for us is whether we remember that He keeps His word. And that's why He gives us signs. He gives us signs not out of duty, but He gives us signs because He knows we have a tendency to forget things. You know, especially as you get on in life a little bit. And we could do with the reminders. So what are the signs in your life? What is the one sign that you can hold on to? Maybe for you, that sign is a scripture verse. What is the sign that God gave you? Maybe for you, it's a word of prophecy where you just knew when you heard. When that person said those words, you knew God was listening. That person that God sent to you in the nick of time to help you, to support you, to assist you. That door that closed, that door that opened, you knew that was the sign. Think back. What is the sign that you've received? A job you really wanted and you prepared for it and you prepared well and you prayed well and it was in scripture and you found the scripture and you confessed it and you went and you performed well at the interview and they didn't give you the job and you were disappointed. Oh Lord, what did I do? Oh Lord, is it me or is it you? As if it's ever God. And then the other opportunity came up. And then the other opportunity was better than the first one. And when you took that other opportunity, you looked back and you were like, Lord, I'm sorry about that. I've been there, done that. I'm right here. Ain't that right, Sumi? That one was Sumi, definitely. We prayed, we believed, we agreed, we did everything. This is your job, go get it, babe. She went back and she was, I'm waiting. First day, second day, no news is good news. Don't worry, no news. Oh, please. That door, we didn't even know the door was closed. They closed the door so slowly and silently and they bricked it up. Have you ever called an employer and they don't pick up your call? I mean, it's dreadful. I mean, that didn't happen, but it felt like that. And then the new opportunity came and we were like, Lord, thank you that you know the end from the beginning. God was in it all along. Some of you have forgotten the things that God has done. That illness that He healed you from. That surgery He brought you through. You've forgotten the sign. That bill that was settled just in time to stop that thing from happening. That court case that you came through. That journey that you made. The journey that you made to all the way to England. You forgot the sign. You're taking God for granted. That peace that came upon you in the middle of your storm. You forgot that time your child was saved, that money that you were able to save, that person that you have become. Saints, we only need one sign, one sign, one enduring sign, one thing to hold on to, one thing to point to, one sign. The world sometimes tells us one is never enough. Get more. How do you want one car? Get more than one car. One house. Get more than one house. One pair of shoes. Get more. Okay, I hope you have more than one pair of shoes. Our flesh tells us one is not enough. Well, I beg to differ in this context. With God, all you need is one. One anything. And I mean with God, one anything. One touch. That's all you need. One verse. One word. All you need is one sign. And you don't need to be all gushy about that one sign. All you need is one sign that you will remember. That you can keep your eye on. Well, more than any of the signs I've talked to you about today, there is one sign that beats them all hands down. It's a sign that tells you that victory is yours, salvation is yours. It's a sign that tells you healing is yours, deliverance is yours. It's a sign that tells you freedom from depression is yours. It's a sign that tells you assured identity is yours. It's a sign that tells you fruitfulness is yours. It's a sign that tells you acceptance is yours, that tells you protection is yours, forgiveness is yours, peace is yours, redemption is yours, belonging is yours, joy is yours. God's very first sign has a name. We call it the rainbow. Earlier on, I showed a picture of this thing on my finger. This sign has a name. We call it the wedding ring. Well, the sign above all signs, the sign that beats them all, also has a name, and his name is Jesus. You only need one sign. Jesus is the greatest sign of enduring love, the greatest sign of God's faithfulness, the greatest sign of promises kept and promises to be kept. He is the sign that has lasted hundreds, thousands of years. He is the sign that will last for all eternity. God has given us a sign greater than any rainbow, single, double, triple, quadruple rainbow. You can rainbow up all of the sky. God has given us a sign that is greater than any wedding ring. He has given us a sign, and his name is Jesus. And just like other signs of covenant, he is here to help you to remember. I simply ask you today, will you let him remind you? Will you allow yourself to remember that Jesus is the sign?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.